Okay. Hello, Catherine. I was wondering what your definitive call on crypto in general and Bitcoin in particular is. I've listened to many of your talks, interviews, and I've gotten from that that your vision is it's a deep state op that is a tool to prep the public for and let lead up to CBDC, centralized digital currency. However, you've also said that ideally there exists a mix of conventional and digital currency. Besides that, I see investor YouTubers who I gauge as honest and trustworthy in the know of the motives and ways of the globalists who keep having trust in Bitcoin, which they see as a store of value. Lastly, it seems to me personally that the digital nature of Bitcoin makes it vulnerable because the globalists can sabotage the internet. In this context, Cyber Polygon has been in my mind since for long. The mix of this all is confusing. It's hard to know what is true for me to decide if I should invest in Bitcoin and should forget about it completely. Thank you and greetings. Okay, so I put two links in here. One is to the interview with Mercola, the 3-hour debate on Bitcoin, and then one is the sort of thing I did after in 2017 with Harry Blaser on Bitcoin, the app. So let me go through four different layers of looking at Bitcoin, and then I'll come back to what you should do. The first thing is a lot of times when somebody says, "What's your call?" I don't have a call. To me, a call is one way to approach the financial system is you're looking for a slot machine. And you're putting money in and you get the three cherries and money comes out and you win. And that's what you're looking for is a way to make money on money. And my approach is generally not to do that. You know, if I was running a daily trading operation and giving you calls, it would be designed to do that, but that's obviously not what I'm doing. I don't do day trading and I don't sort of trading calls. I'm much more interested in building wealth by investing in real assets and things that really dovetail living equity with financial equity back and forth. Anyway, but so I'm gonna walk through four different ways of looking at Bitcoin and which come up when I talk about Bitcoin and crypto. Bitcoin being a very different, most crypto being very different than Bitcoin. Okay, the first thing is policy issues. As a policy matter, I do think that cryptos were encouraged and pumped and dumped and continue to be pumped and dumped to build to do the prototyping that's needed for the central bankers to figure out how to do CBDCs. But they also play a lot of other roles, helping to move money around secretly, helping to launder money, helping to get a lot of the people who are freedom fighters working for you and building your train tracks instead of building towards freedom. So even though I think a lot of people who are using Bitcoin to try and build freedom are very sincere, I think part of the op is getting them to help the central bankers prototype where they want to go. And I think it's been very successful. I think crypto has done a great job of sort of leading a whole world of people into a process that helps the big guys get to where they want to go. So, as a policy matter, I do see crypto as an op to build towards the CBDC. And I think from Mr. Global standpoint, it's been remarkably successful. So, on policy issues, Carolyn, anything you want to add?
No, I think that that is the case. It isn't a matter of good or bad. And regulation is another issue. SEC has talked about regulating some of the cryptocurrencies on the basis that they are securities and others are not. It depends on the structure. But I don't think it's good or bad. I think it all depends.
Right. Well,
But
here's what I said. The regulators can take all of these things down. You know, they can shut off liquidity, they can assert control, they can take them to zero whenever they want.
right.
And I think that was very hard for folks to believe when Bitcoin was at 65,000, but I think it's easier to understand now, particularly because we've seen different jurisdictions start to lay on regulatory regimes like Australia and suddenly realize, oh, you know, it's surprisingly easy for them to exercise control. And the danger, of course, is you put money in and then the regulators take it to zero and, you know, it's tough luck. Now, what I've also said is a policy matter in a perfect world. If we had a great governance system, we would want our financial system to be both analog and digital. And in the digital space, we would want, you know, people to be able to free to create their own currencies like Bitcoin or other cryptos. And that would be good. but we're not in a great governance system, and you have to understand that digital systems are the way that Mr. Global is going to turn your home and your car and your community into a digital concentration camp. And when you encourage and develop and finance the prototypes to do that, you're helping. And that's not something I'm happy about. It would be great if we had a great governance system and we could have all sorts of fun with different cryptocurrencies, both for our communities and our network and all over the world. But that ain't the world we live in. So,
right.
Right. And so you got to live in the world that we live in.
Right.
Now,
and you're not saying that the creation of the concept of a digital currency is a deep state op. There are a bunch of geniuses out there who've come up with systems that are very interesting and innovative. And we're not saying that they're necessarily controlled by the CIA, you know.
Do you remember when we at Hamilton, we invented just-in-time money? I mean, that was basically a cryptocurrency. And the idea is, you know, whenever you needed it, it would just show up.
Right.
So it was just-in-time money. I love just-in-time money. But now, here's the thing, whether there's a deep state or not, when a group of people get together and create a crypto, you know, you're talking about a faith system. It's based in faith. And so it can turn into a Ponzi scheme tomorrow, you know, where the only value that comes is getting a new person in. And if no more new people come in, then you're going to get wiped out.
Right.
So that turns to speculation, because most of these things are highly speculative. And it does depend. Crypto has always, the value of crypto is dependent on more retail coming in. And of course, you know, we're watching pumps and dumps, and the pump brings retail in and then they get dumped.
Right.
So you're playing in a dangerous speculation with crypto as it is today. And if you're going to put money, there's certain rules on how to play a speculation. And I've seen subscribers who made a fortune on Bitcoin because they knew how to play the game. You know, they put money in, they rode the curve up, and they, as the curve is going up, they're pulling their principal out. So at some point they're playing from their winnings, and then they keep clawing money out so that they, you know, they get a decent yield. And then they keep pulling money out long before the crash. And, you know, so they know how to play it.
But that's market timing.
Right.
As would be day trading.
It's a little bit different than day trading, but yeah, they're absolutely saying, I'm going to play a speculative market. I know how to play a speculative market. I understand the extraordinary liquidity and regulatory dangers here. I'm going to take that risk. And so, you know, they wait for the pump, they ride the pump out. And the first thing they do is they get their principal out. So if the thing crashes, they have zero losses. They're playing from their winnings. And so then they ride it up a little bit more and they take more out, and that gives them, that locks them into a return for playing the game. So maybe they're up 10 to 30% by the time they claw that out. And the last thing they do, you know, when they try and get out before the rush to the door, when the thing takes a nosedive, because you've got in a speculative market, you've got elevator down, escalator up. So when it goes down, it's too late. You can't get out. It's just, you know, straight down.
Right.
Okay, so if you're going to speculate, just understand it's a speculation, and you never put a lot of money into a speculation. I mean, do not put 100% of your retirement savings into a speculation. You could lose everything.
And if you borrow against it, you're taking even more of a risk.
Well, that's the thing. You cannot, I mean, what was so frightening to me is that people were basically borrowing against their crypto position and living on that money. So their daily expenses were dependent. And when Bitcoin goes from 65 to 17,000, they're wiped. And if the debt is recourse, that now they're really in the corner. Let me tell you how so we have a special report we did on the taxation issues, because it's very important to me that you understand when you do a crypto swap or a crypto sale, you've got a taxable event. Especially, and some of those taxable events are short-term gains. So we're talking about big taxes. If you were swapping all the way from 55,000 to 65,000 and created taxable trades, and then it dumps, and now it's at 17,000, and you didn't escrow any of the proceeds, because these were swaps, they weren't you didn't sell. So now you've got huge tax liabilities and your existing position is less than your tax bill. That's why I always say, if you create a tax liability, get the cash and escrow the money you owe the taxes now, or get the money out and, so imagine if you did taxable swaps between 60, 55 and 65, you created huge tax liabilities. Meantime, you're borrowing the money to live on. Then the thing craters, you can't pay back your debt. You can't pay your taxes.
Yes.
I just think a huge number of people have been put in the crossfire of the IRS and the tax authorities. So you got a whole world of...
This is not for the uninitiated, people who don't understand what they're getting into.
It's a dangerous game.
Yes.
Right. And the feds know exactly, the regulators and the feds knew exactly what the game was before this got pumped.
Aren't there people who think that this is somehow secret?
I still know people who think it's secret. Now, here's the problem. In a speculative market, the exchanges can go down, as we've seen with FTX and some of the others.
Right.
We just saw Coinbase lay off, people are laying people off. But one of the problems is if you keep your position in an exchange, or you need an exchange to liquefy, what you've got on the wallet, and the exchange goes down, you've got real problems.
Yeah, you have a number of layers of risk.
Right. Or you have it on the wallet, but you can't remember your password. So
that too.
Right. Okay. So this gets us into the personal finance issue. So let's say you've dealt with the policy issues, you've dealt with the speculation issues. Okay, the personal finance issue, you've got to be great at archiving. You've got to make sure you understand the custodial risks and have it on your wallet. You've got to make sure you have all the records your CPA needs. Because if IRS comes knocking at your door, you better be able to document your trades. We just saw announcements to the Australian CPAs about what they have to do to report the trading and tax liabilities of people with crypto positions. I read it and I said, if I was an Australian CPA, I'd just fire any of my clients who had crypto positions. I wouldn't even want to deal with this.
Well, yeah, and think of the drag on your time and energy and that of your CPA and how much you're paying for the advice. Right. I mean, you got to factor that into what you think is profits.
Right. So whether it's the tax, whether it's the archiving, whether it's the custodian issues, whether it's the CPA issues, these are all things you can deal with. But before you buy crypto or get involved, just understand that there is an intellectual and compliance infrastructure that you need to have in place so that you're not tricked, you're not sabotaged, you don't get yourself in trouble with the tax authorities or your CPA. You just want to think this all out before you touch it.
I have had people who've had trouble with the IRS, and when you don't have records, the IRS is going to make assumptions that are not in your favor.
Right. So this is like anything else. If you have a mortgage, you need to put together the files and watch the servicing and track all of this. So it's no different than any other area of your financial life. Just understand you're opening a new scope, a new aspect. You need to invest in the infrastructure. You need to handle it, management. You need to know what you're doing.
Right.
So you need to get yourself educated. Okay. So that's all the sort of personal finance questions. And for God's sakes, do not do this on margin. Do not borrow against your crypto position, for God's sakes. You should see the mess that's happening out of all the leverage in the FTX situation. We're just talking about it, money and markets. Okay. So then there's the personal finance issue. Then finally, I have an issue that has nothing to do with you, but you need to know what it is. And this is why if all these other things didn't persuade me otherwise, I would never touch crypto at this point. And that is, as Carolyn knows, I believe an effort was to falsely frame me, saying that I had offshore bank accounts that I didn't have. And they could never... they could never prove that there was any connection between my bank accounts. And I run my finances on a very transparent basis, both the company and me. And there were way too many people who were doing the transactions and seeing everything and, having copies of the documents that you could just never frame me. But if I had a Bitcoin position, do you know how easy it would be to frame me with that? And to say I had holdings that I didn't have? I mean, I just think it would be so easy to frame a person with this stuff, I wouldn't touch it.
Absolutely. And, disproving a negative is almost impossible.
Right. So if I wanted to do crypto, I would work through an asset manager and a fund so that I could document and prove everything. And I wasn't directly touching the Bitcoin, or the crypto exchanges. Now that's me. And I have particular reasons. I want to get on the Salary Report and say whatever I want to say and not worry about this stuff. And if I had a crypto account, I'd be, to me, it's like an open window where they get to take a free shot. I wouldn't touch it. Okay, now the other thing I want to say is what I'm against is an all digital financial transaction grid. And I don't care whether it's Bitcoin or crypto or Visa, it doesn't matter. The problem is 100% digital. So that's what I'm trying to avoid. So I don't, in no way do I want to imply that a digital online brokerage account is, and Visa are superior to Bitcoin. There are things about Bitcoin that in theory could make it pretty attractive, and including the fact that it's built a community of people that are pretty loyal, and that means it is something that could be used among that community to hold value and trade. And the beauty is you can put your Bitcoin on your stick and put it in your pocket and go through customs and nobody knows, right? Right. So there are many attractive things about Bitcoin to me. But again, I come back to I want to invest in something that's real. I want to put money either investing in Solari or investing in a person who needs to borrow money or investing in a local farm that's going to give me food. I mean, I want to know how can I invest in food, energy, shelter in a way that's going to provide me the resiliency I need to stay alive. I can always, the problem with me is I can always find something real that's more attractive to me than doing an incremental investment in something like Bitcoin. So now, if I was traveling across the globe in a Jeep and I wanted to have money that the authorities couldn't confiscate, that's when I would start to consider putting money into crypto, because it's just something you can stash under the trunk that may be able to make it through. I can see why people do it. Those are the pros and cons of crypto and some of my thoughts about crypto. And the question for you is, I don't know what to tell you. I don't want to finance a deep state op, so I'm not going to help them. If you look at all the different places I have to put money right now, I've got so many great options that strike me as being very, very real. And, Carolyn can tell you I'm a people investor and I invest in people, and I can think of thousands of things to do with my money to support people that are both gifting and investing. And that's, I could win the lottery for $1 billion. I wouldn't run out of people investments.
But Catherine, as I understand it, this is not to the exclusion of stock market investment. I mean, you're not recommending that everybody completely sell everything they own in the stock market and
No, I love this stuff. I mean, here's the thing. I put more money in stocks every month. I'm in a savings plan. And and one of the things I do that I love the most is I screen stocks. And I find these companies that I absolutely love. They're fabulous. They're great people and they're doing great things. And you just can't believe you never heard of them before. And they're all over the world. And they're just quietly doing something that makes the world phenomenally better. And it's like a secret story and it's happening all over the world. And I love them. And they make real things. I mean, I love precious metals, but precious metals sits in a vault and does nothing, right? So, and I would tell you stories of companies I love, but I'm not here to recommend stocks. But that's why when you have money in a company that has great products and great management and great governance and great leadership, and astonishing excellence and quality, and their stock goes down 20% because the market's down 20%, you're just like, well, let's buy more. It's for sale. Let's buy more. So,
Right.
and you don't worry about it because if those companies are going to go down, we're all going to go down. I'm not, the world needs companies and they need great companies. One of my favorite lines is Franklin Sanders when he says, one of the things I try and impress upon people about the end of the world is the morning after the end of the world, somebody's going to wake up hungry and somebody's going to want to, have a business making, cooking them breakfast.
Right.
Right. Anyway, so I love great companies, companies that can generate a profit and create a dividend. But there's no, again, there's no magic bullet here because if you have a governance system that wants to return us to slavery, there are no investment solutions that get you out of that other than changing the governance system. And that's the conundrum. How do we do that together? And
Right.
to me, it starts by putting your money into fundamentally productive things instead of financing your enemy, which brings me back to I don't want to finance my enemy, even if you got a lot of great freedom fighters doing a prototype. And even if Bitcoin could be a great thing if we had a good governance system, that's a big if. What are you doing to change the governance system? There it is. So, as we can see, it's a complicated topic, but you have to decide where you come out on the policy issues, whether you're comfortable trading a speculative market, and that includes dealing with the policy risks, which are enormous, and then whether you want to deal with the personal financial aspects of this, and then whether or not you share my political risk, which hopefully I don't think you do. Was that long and complicated enough? Don't know. Have you ever bought any crypto, Carolyn?
No, I have not.
Okay.
And I have said to my son, don't you dare do it until you talk to me.
Yeah, because you don't want to have to get him out of trouble on the audit, right?
I do have a different generation, younger relative who's very excited about it. And I'm a little nervous, but
Just make sure he archives.